Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. I'm joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. A lot to recap on the homecoming weekend and look forward to the postseason play, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'd like to begin today by making just a few comments about I always hate to qualify them, because that's dangerous, but it was probably one of the more exciting homecomings. And I felt rewarding homecomings in terms of relationship building and reconnecting some very specific people who were here, some specific instances and experiences and events we had that I thought was just fantastic. We started off the weekend with a really good day with a little bit of frost in the morning of the golf tournament. Yeah. We had to hold off a little bit, but good turnout there. Some very special features there with Eric Kratz being there, playing hole 17 with everybody. That seemed to be a great experience for them. I didn't ask for any evaluative comments about his golf game, but I'm going to have the chance to play around the golf with him a little bit later.
He did tell me that he started using his pitching wedge, and as the wind picked up throughout the day, he moved to his 9 and then to his 8. But he said he was too much of a man to go one more club.
Well, why'd you say that, James? Because I used a 7 when I got there.
And, well, he hit a lot short.
Right, and played with him. He does swing hard,
yeah.
And I am going to have a chance to play with him. And so I'm sure the golf game is something he works on when he can. But since he makes his home in Harrisonburg, it's not like Miami, Florida, or any place like that where you could play golf all winter long. So that was a special highlight. He was around for that and interacted. We had a good turnout, a lot of prizes people donated this time. We don't quite have the numbers worked out yet, but it's about the same number of golfers, about 100, 110, a pretty full day. But it was a great way to get started. A donor banquet that evening, our Hall of Honor recipients were recognized there. It was one of my first times to be able to attend that, and I thank those who in the area here who helped clean up after the golf tournament. The Hall of Honor breakfast was just outstanding. Record number there. Typically, it's been 30 to 40 people. This was over 100, 110, I think. And part of that was putting a team in, but I also thought about the number of people who came just to support. We do send invitations out for in case of Eric Kratz's case. We send invitations to everybody who ever played with him during his 4 years here. And I'm not sure we did that with the team, but there were a lot of persons there in support. Former coaches were back, Tom Baker, Rob Reschle. It was really good to see them back again, and a lot of support there. So that was a really special time. I think as I shared the disclaimer there, I'll share it here, is that some people would say, why'd you wait so long to put Eric Kratz in when you've already retired his jersey? I had to explain that the retired of the jersey was done before the Loyal Royals had put any sort of guidelines to Hall of Honor and jersey retirement and team. And so my understanding from those days was the coaching staff would sit around either after a season or at the end of the year and say, hey, who should we put in the Hall of Honor? Or because when you and I went through and did all the work to update them, we found people were in the Hall of Honor before they graduated. So they would put it in the fall and they graduated in the spring. So that's why it's 10 years out of college before you are eligible for the Hall of Honor. And so this is the 10th year out, 2012, but his jersey retired before. As far as the women's field hockey team, if you look at their record, ended up 10-10, I believe, for the year. And some people would say, the world. In fact, several of the players wrote to me when I informed them of the decision, and they said, why us? What did we do that was so special? Well, you may give a little bit more insight to it, but they were the first team to go on into the NCAA postseason or AIAW at that particular point and made it to one of the top.
They went to the national tournament, which I believe is only 16 teams back
then. So they did reach, and so we look at that group as very much the one that set the standard. And certainly from there on, there were many, many field hockey teams that certainly won ODAC championships and went on. One of them is already in the Hall of Honor. One's recognized with a banner for the Sweet Six or Final Four. Ended up third that year, so when they had a consolation game. So some people would look at it and say, why this particular team? Somebody always has to set the bar and set the mark that you achieve and strive for, and that 1980 team did. So it was a very special time for them to especially to be reconnected, and they were just thrilled to be able to be honored and to be here and be on campus. So that was just an outstanding event. Recognizing all the parents at every game is a special time for me to see the support that the parents have, recognizing that the parent role is probably a little different in the collegiate mm-hmm. level than it has mm-hmm. been in the high school level. So to see how many of them came back and to be here for that game and interact with them and meals that they had after the game or before the game, those are just really, really special times. And then we did have a special reception for Eric in which people could come. We wanted to treat it professionally the way it should be treated and wanted to make it comfortable for people who would see him walking across campus and don't know whether they can stop and ask for an autograph right. or not. So we set up a reception. Loyal Royals hosted it, and we had photos there that he could sign. And he talked afterwards about what a great time because he saw so many of his friends. It was his 10-year college reunion, of course. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really special time, I think, for him and for other people. It put everybody at ease and gave him a chance to interact. Because he still is learning the celebrity status that he has here in this area. He said he says he understands it in Philadelphia, but he doesn't quite get it over here. And I said, well, there's a lot of Phillies fans around here. And then the 1998 men's soccer team. Mm-hmm. Great to see them come back, able to give them the ODAC championship banner, which had not been done before, I believe. And then they did reach the Sweet 16. So we have the NCAA banner, and that'll be hung in the gym as well. So all in all, totally wiped us out physically and emotionally. from preparation and the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you felt the same with all the events you had to cover and stories yeah. you had to write. We are working hard to get things up online as quickly as we can. There are already some photos up. We have photos of all the golf team members. We'll get the results up soon. We've got action shots. And so you can find those both on the homecoming page as well as our EMU page. I think you're working on one there. So mm-hmm. just a fantastic weekend. Couldn't have asked for better weather. And again, far beyond the results of the games, it really had to do with the spirit that was there. And we were very excited about that. And it was a great, great weekend. We're still recovering, but it reminds me again of how valuable and how important the stories of the alumni are, and to be able to stand there and talk to them and actually have them rethink the value of their experience here. And yes, it was about the trips and the hotel rooms and the inside jokes and all of that, mm-hmm. but it was really about what they could do and achieving it together. And Eric talked about that. He really commented about how we sometimes put aside the relationship building, but now that he's in the business of baseball, it became very important for him to do that. So all in all, a great weekend, and thank you for all of you who were here, all of you who remembered us. Make sure you check it out, relive it again of the weekend. And that brings us then to shifting our focus towards the conference playoffs. And mm-hmm. James, I've asked you to give us a little rundown of where teams are at. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about some teams not being quite where we expect them to be and shifting mm-hmm. the goals. Some of it reality is hitting now in terms of who's making it or not. Give us a rundown on what the postseason looks like.
Well, it's just amazing how close the end of the year is. Basically, our teams have two games left. Volleyball is a little different, but basically two games left. The regular season wraps up in the middle of next week for most of our teams. And two of our teams still in the postseason picture. And it's kind of strange. Both of them, if the season ended right now, both field hockey and men's soccer would be in the postseason playoffs. Okay. But with a slight change, either team can miss the playoffs or host a first-round game, or all sorts of things can happen. Men's soccer has got to be one of the craziest years ever. We are currently, 5-4 in conference play. We're tied for fourth place with three other teams. There's one team a single point above us in third place. In soccer, you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, 0 points for a loss. So there's one team a single point above those four teams in fourth place, and then one more team a single point behind them in eighth place, and then another team in ninth place 3 points behind. So they're just a win out. And we play one of those teams we're tied with this weekend at Virginia Wesleyan. So many things could happen.
Not an easy place to play, I would say.
It's a terribly hard place to play. Roger will tell you about that. And it's so there's just so many weird factors that can go on the men's side, and you know, anybody can swing, it feels like, from seventh place to second place in basically one day. So our men are at Virginia Wesleyan this weekend. Then next week we end the regular season at home, which sounds great, but we're hosting Washington and Lee, which is currently in first place in the conference. So two really tough games left for our guys. And so still anything could happen. They could host a first round game next week, Saturday. They could miss the playoffs altogether. So it'll be a lot of fun and tension to figure out what happens with these guys. So we'll start this Saturday. They're at Wesleyan. I think it's a late afternoon game. So keep an eye on live stats for that. And next week as they play host to Washington and Lee, for the field hockey team, they are currently tied for sixth place. And in field hockey, the top six teams go to the playoffs. But we play Shenandoah, which is fourth place at Shenandoah, unfortunately. So we're playing the fourth place team, but with a win, we guarantee ourselves a spot in the playoffs. But a loss doesn't specifically knock us out, but we sure want that win to keep it clear. But there's one team that's Roanoke, which is just behind us right now. But with a win, they could tie us if we lost, and they would hold a tiebreaker over us. So just as easy as that, we could be out of the playoffs as well.
Well, and I don't think Shenandoah is a real easy place to play if I'm not sure that they're still playing on grass field, and there aren't many of those around. And so
you play on turf, that's a big change to go to grass. Yeah. So just like that, field hockey is just as crazy. And if the right things happen, I think we could still end up fourth and end up hosting a game as well next week, Saturday. So,
and I understand that both the women's volleyball and women's soccer are out of the potential playoff time. Mm-hmm. So they're going to try to finish the season strong again, each of them having, well, at least the women's soccer having two matches left. Mm-hmm. And so, make sure you pay attention to the website because things will change very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And by the time we come back again next Friday, it'll all be settled and we'll be set to go. Mm-hmm. And we'll have playoff games on Saturday, hopefully. With both teams in. Mm-hmm. The other really highlight as the postseason rolls around is our hosting mm-hmm. of the ODAC Cross Country Championship.
Right.
And it also brings a little bit special feature since we're one of the top teams, at least on the women's side, mm-hmm. and it's going to stand to prove to be a really, really exciting race. You got any previews on that or any comments about
that? Well, part of the deal that we see with men's soccer, we're seeing with women's cross country as well. There's four pretty clear-cut top teams on the women's side. We see them in the regional rankings throughout the year, but it kind of feels like whoever has a good race that day could win. So Washington and Lee and us and Bridgewater and Lynchburg is the fourth of those. And it just feels like, you know, if someone has an off day, well, they're going to slip down to third as a team. But if they have a good day, they'll finish first or something. And so I think especially that women's field is going to be really, really exciting on the team side. There's a couple of top runners, but the strength for EMU, we do have some really good individual runners, but the strength for EMU is the overall team. And so it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. On the men's side, as far as EMU, we're probably not really expecting to, you know, fight for the top spot as a team, but we do have a couple of individual runners that could be fighting for top spots as well. And so
Certainly. It's
just going to be a lot of fun watching that, I think.
Well, we're very privileged to be able to host it. It rotates around. We had a mm-hmm. preview meet. We're looking forward to that as well. Both teams, men and women, will be going to the regional, which I believe is down in Georgia. And so they're going to the regional meet. And again, either team-wise or individual, we're certainly always looking for those who can move on. Dan Nafsinger was able to represent us last year at the NCAAs, and certainly we're hopeful to have he and maybe some others join back in. So it does start to gear up. As we mentioned, basketball was in full swing. They were doing two-a-day, mm-hmm. 6 o'clock in the morning and also in the afternoon. So that's underway, but we certainly don't want to take away from the closeout of the fall season. And all these teams are having good. One other thing I forgot to mention about homecoming weekend, it also was a recruit weekend for women's soccer, and they had 20 recruits here.
Yeah.
And actually got a couple of verbal commitments out of them.
Excellent.
Division III, you can't
right.
letters of intent and all of that, and they haven't seen their financial aid packages, a few things like that. But they had a wonderful experience here.
Very good.
And it was a great weekend for him to be here on Friday and Saturday and mm-hmm. got to get a little bit of a feel of homecoming. So those were exciting things. And so the fall coaches, as they're wrapping up, they're also really heavily into the recruiting piece as well because their sports are being played right now, at least in many areas, and so they need to go on that trail. Well, it's been an exciting week for us, a recovery week, I would say, from homecoming and looking into the upcoming postseason, so we'll keep you posted on that. Again, please make sure you look at the website for homecoming photos and details, storylines, and then the postseason coming up, and before you know it, we'll be ready to kick off the basketball season. So thanks for tuning in this week. We look forward to talking with you next week, and until we meet on this particular computer or whatever you're on, I invite you to make it a great week.